Seated. Open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to just begin right here in verse 1. Here's what Paul writes to the church of Corinth. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So Paul's telling them, he said, "Listen, when I came to you, I didn't come to you in my own name. I didn't come to you in my popularity. I didn't come to you in the form of a human person just talking to another human person." He said, "I came to you, and when I spoke to you, I wanted my speech to be with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost." See, church, we are children of God, and we are not, no matter what anybody else thinks about you, you're not normal. Amen. Come on now. The Bible calls you a peculiar person. What makes me so peculiar? The Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. You see, you have been endued with power from on high. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. And so you are not just a regular person. And so when you speak, you have an anointing on your speech. Come on. Your voice is anointed. And Paul said, "When I came to talk to you, it wasn't me trying to persuade you. It wasn't what I was saying to you. It's what the Holy Ghost was saying through me." He said, "I didn't want your faith in me. I didn't want you looking up to me and having faith in me. I wanted you to make sure that your faith was in the power of God." Come on, church. It's time for the church to get their eyes back on God, get their eyes off humanity, get their eyes off the world, get their eyes off government. Come on, somebody. Get your eyes over on the power of God and Him manifesting Himself in our presence. I don't know about you, but I want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't want to just read about them. Don't want to just hear about them. I want to experience them. Come on now. And that's what Paul said. He said, "I don't want your faith to stand in man or the wisdom of men. I want your faith to stand in the power of God and in the Spirit." You see, God is all we've got. Come on now. There's nothing else in this world that you can put your faith in that'll stand. God will always stand. Come on. And so that's what Paul's trying to get them to do. He says, "I want your faith to stand in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men." Well, you know, how and where does the power of God come from? Well, let's just kind of look here. This familiar scripture to you. Go over to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says this, "But ye shall receive" what? "Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Notice here he says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you." The power of God in you is the Holy Ghost. He's operating in you. I like what Paul's trying to, or what Luke is writing here, that the Lord Jesus has said, because what he's saying here is that you're going to get power. That word power is the word dunamis. Now, I taught this many times, but I want you to understand this. It's the Greek word dunamis, and that word means force, miraculous power. See, when the Holy Ghost came in you, you received a miraculous power on the inside of you. The very power of God. The very Holy Ghost that moved on the face of the waters when God said, "Light be," He made light. Everything was framed by the power of God through His words to the Holy Spirit, and He did it. Now, here's the thing. That same Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you. And so, He uses the word dunamis here. Now, see, that's the same word where we get our word dynamite from. Well, we all know a little bit about dynamite, you know, and dynamite, I worked in strip mines 20 years, so I understand the way dynamite works. We would take dynamite along with some ANFO, and we would take solid rock, and we'd blow it to bits so that we could move mountains. We stripped coal. We did what was called mountaintop removal many times. You could move the mountain with what the dynamite did. You could take a piece of equipment and start bouncing around. Boss got smart with me one day, and he said something. I was asking for a raise, and because the other guys was making more money. I hadn't been there as long, but I was still. It was time for me to get a raise. And he said, "Well," he said, "I guess you can just get you a raise whenever you want to, you know." He said, "We don't necessarily have to have you to drill." He was smart. I said, "That's right. You don't have to have me to drill, but go ahead and take your dozer or your loader over and put it against that rock and see how you move it without my drill." I mean, he's smarter than me. I won't tell you I was really right with the Lord at this time, okay? So I could have been a little rougher. But I'll just tell you how it goes, you know. And so what I was saying is if you don't get exploded, if it don't get busted, dynamite don't take care of it, you got to have a hole to put it in. It's not going to get busted. And so that's what dynamite, in my experience of dynamite has been, it was to blow up rock, take a solid thing and blow it all to pieces. Well, can I tell you something? Faith in us is the trigger that releases dunamis in us so that you and I can move mountains. Our faith, right? That's what the Lord Jesus said, right? Let me show you. Go over here with me to Matthew chapter 17. Come on, Matthew chapter 17, look at verse 14 here. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And when Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Notice here, the Lord Jesus says to him, he says, listen, you've got to understand that this mustard seed same thing, this mustard seed, that kind of faith. Now, see, we talk about size a lot of times, but that's not really it. Because let me give that to you in Amplified here, verse 20. He says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Jesus is saying, you got to have faith like a mustard seed, not the size of a mustard seed. Amplified says it's living. What's that mean? It's growing. It's getting bigger. You got to take your faith and grow your faith so that you can move mountains. Oh, come on now, somebody. See, I know we have a problem with that because it just seems that's just impossible. He said nothing's impossible to you. But you have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to use your faith. Folks, if you're going to overcome in this world, you're going to have to operate in faith. If you're going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish on this earth, you're going to have faith. You know, there's one place that the Bible says all men have not faith. Well, what was he talking about? He was talking about a lot of people have a lot of unbelief in them. Now, I understand that the Word of God declares that God has given to every man the measure of faith, but you see, the measure of faith won't get it done. The measure of faith will get you saved. But you need to build on that faith. You need to grow that faith so that it becomes like that mustard seed. Another example of the mustard seed, it talks about that it gets planted and it's a very small seed, and then it grows up and it becomes a great tree that the birds and the fowls of the air, they can come there and they can take rest in that. You see, you and I need to grow our faith to where we're able to help other people. They can come and find rest in us. They can come and find healing. They can come and find deliverance. They can come and find peace. They can come and find Jesus in us. What? You're the body of Christ. Where else are they going to go to? See, you have to understand that. Who am I? I'm nobody. Yes, you are. You're a child of God. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. You've been anointed for such a time as this. The church has been sitting back and the world been doing what they want to. But it's time for the church to rise up and say, you got a problem? We got the answer, and His name is Jesus. Come on, church. The world doesn't have the answers. They act like they do. But you got to realize the world thinks there's more than two genders. So is that who you want to go to? Come on now. Yeah, I mean, you know, how ridiculous. Is that somebody you want to sit down and read? Yeah, listen, you can't reason with stupidity. Come on, don't get mad at me, but it's the truth. We have to, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. Well, how are we going to reason? Well, we're going to sit down with the Word of God because the Word of God is truth. And the only truth. And so we got to reason from the Word of God, because if the Word says it, it's settled. And so it's up to you and I to get it settled in our heart that the Word is true. And if we get it settled in our heart that the Word is true, then we've already made another step in our faith. We're already starting to build our faith, because He says here, especially in the Amplified, that our faith, it's a living faith. It's a growing faith. We should always be growing our faith and moving, because, you know, anything that's not growing is dead. Right? If it ain't growing, it's dead. Brother Chuck gave me a couple peach trees a few years back, and I took them and planted them up on a place where I kind of wanted to get them out of the way to where they wouldn't be left alone and wouldn't be bothered and whatever. And I went out there last year and just seen they wouldn't do them very well. The leaves wouldn't do it. I went out there this year, they're dead. You know why they're dead? They quit growing. If you quit growing your faith's going to die. Did you hear me? You have to grow your faith. Listen, you have to continually keep reminding yourself of the Word of God. That's why God told Joshua, He said, I want you to meditate on the Word day and night. Day and night. What's He saying? Keep it fresh before you. And He said, if you do that, then you're going to have good success. You see, you and I, we get caught up. I like what Stephanie said a few minutes ago. A lot of times we just get so caught up in the world that we're trying not to hurt their feelings, but it's time for us to be bold. They didn't care to tell us to put on three masks and save us from COVID when they was lying to us. Come on, they didn't care to tell you they had a vaccine that would kill it, and then they say, oh, no, it won't kill it, but it'll help you, and you won't get as sick when you're there. All of it was lies. Every bit of it was lies. It didn't hurt our officials to tell us, if you go to church on Sunday through this COVID, we're going to put you in jail. Come on now. See, it's all attacks against the church, against Christian people, against the truth. So you and I, it's time for us to stand up and give them the truth. That's what Charlie Kirk was doing. He was giving the world the truth, and the devil didn't like it. They wanted to shut him up, but I got news for them. All they did was opened up a can of worms. All they did was made a martyr out of him to make Christians say, you know what? Our voice is going to be heard now, and it's going to be multiplied. Jesus told the church, He said, the disciples, He said, it's expedient for you that I go back to heaven, because if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost can't come. And so Jesus sent the Holy Ghost down here to inhabit every one of us so that we would multiply His voice on the earth. And that's exactly what's going on now. Amen. Come on. So it's time, church. It's time for us to step out. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but I heard Kim Clement. Anybody know who Kim Clement was? Well, he was a prophet back several years ago, and I thought he was the craziest acting man in this world. He'd play his piano and just prophesy and sing. But man, he prophesied that Trump would be a two-term president a long time. I mean, many years ago before Trump was ever there. He prophesied it. He also prophesied about a lady that would come on the scene and God would anoint her. And through tragedy, her anointing and her voice was going to bring peace. And, you know, guess what? Charlie Kirk's wife says, this thing's not going to die. Matter of fact, we're going to take it farther than it's ever been taken. I believe it's a prophecy toward his wife. I believe she's going to cause a great movement in the youth and in this United States to let people know, listen, we don't have to have all this stupidity. It's time for common sense to rule and reign again. Come on. You know, it ain't political to have common sense. Is it? It's not political to have common sense. Anybody got half a cent knows that men don't belong in women's bathrooms. Come on. Anybody got half a cent knows that there's only two genders. Come on now. Yeah, I mean, and then get around and fight about that and argue about that and quarrel about that and all that junk. Come on now. And I mean, you know, the Bible teaches us that homosexuality is not right. It's not natural. Common sense, folks. You don't have to be political about that. Don't matter what you believe about it. Have common sense. So we can sit down and we can talk about these things. You can do what you want to do. That's up to you. But let's have common sense and let's not try to prove that it's right when it's wrong. Right? Come on now. See, you just got to understand how things work and see what's really right. And then the church's job then is to stand up for what the Bible says is right. Because even if a person's not a Christian, again, they can have common sense. But the Christian not only ought to have common sense, they ought to have biblical sense. And their biblical sense ought to be backing up their faith when they speak and declare things. Come on now. And so, you know, he says, if you've got faith, you can say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it'll obey you. Come on, it's time for the church to start using their mountain-moving faith. It's time for us to grow our faith. And, of course, we know one way to grow our faith is what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We grow our faith by knowing what the Word of God says. Listen, you can't have faith unless you know what the Word says to back it. Come on now. Stephanie was talking about a few minutes ago. I just caught it and it just came to me and I really wanted to say something. She's talking about, you know, people want just a little fire insurance. Guess what? You and I are insurance salesmen. Right? You want insurance for eternal life? We can get that for you. And guess what? We're not even going to charge you for it. It's free because Jesus Christ has already paid for your life insurance. Your eternal life insurance. And so, yeah, you want fire insurance, but here's the thing. You want whole life. Come on, I want whole life. Because I wanted you to just keep paying. Come on, somebody. Just keep growing in worth. That's what we do with our faith. We grow our faith, and the more we grow our faith, the more we speak to things and see them come to pass, the more we see things change in our lives because we understand and know that the Word is truth. And if I speak the Word over something, it's got to come to pass. Why? Because God's not a man that He can lie. So I'm holding God to His Word, and as long as I hold God to His Word, I'll never fail. I'll never fall as long as I stay in the Word. So we grow our faith through the Word. But now let me show you something else. Go with me over here to Hebrews chapter 5. Because we can also grow our faith by using it. Did you hear me? James wrote, he said, you can say you've got faith, but I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm not going to just say I can do this. I'm going to prove it to you. Come on now. A lot of folks, I'll just use this for a little example. How many in here can swim? You look like the majority of people can swim, but can you swim? If I take you out to the middle of the lake where it's 70 foot deep, can you jump off the boat and swim? See, a lot of people can, but here's the thing. A lot of people swim in a swimming pool, and they say, I can swim. I can swim. Pastorette's sister used to say that. She'd say, I can swim, you know. But here's the thing. It's not swimming as long as you can just reach down and touch your feet on the bottom. Yeah, I know you can move around in that pool. But if I take you out there where there ain't no bottom, can you swim? Or do you still have a fear of water? Are you afraid you might drown if you jump off into deep water? Can I tell you something? You can say you've got faith, but you don't have faith until you get out in the deep water. Till you know, hey, I'm stepping out on faith here and I don't feel the bottom. I'm trusting God in this thing. I'm believing God that I'm going to swim. I'm not going to drown. Come on now. See, that's the thing. James said, you can say you've got faith. And I hear people talk about it all the time. Oh, yeah, I believe that. But it's another thing when you have to step out on it and stand on it during persecution. Stand on it when people's talking about you and saying bad things about you. You still stand on your faith. Stand on it when the doctor's looking you in the eye and saying, you know what? There's nothing we can do for you. Stand on it when the banker says, well, it looks like we're going to have to foreclose on you. No. You stand on your faith and declare what the Word of God says. Come on. If the doctor looks at you and says, well, there's nothing we can do, you just look at him and say, the Word says, I'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. The banker looks at you and says, looks like we're going to have to foreclose. You can say, I'm a tither and a giver, and because I am, my God will not let me fall. Come on now, church. You got anything and everything is possible to you that believe. Come on, church. It's time for us to start believing what we're preaching. It's time for us to start believing what we say we believe. The Bible teaches us that we need to be able to give an account for what we believe. Even on our faith, we need to be able to stand. We need to know how to grow it. But look here in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5:12. It says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know what he just said? He said, you've been in church long enough now, you ought not be a baby. You've heard enough word now. You've been taught enough now. You oughtn't be walking around in a diaper and with a pacifier in your mouth. Come on now. That's what he's telling them. Look at it. He says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. What is the word of righteousness? The word of God. See, I mean, you got to understand that the Word of God is just not for preachers. Come on. It's for every believer. It's your life that you've got to live it by. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it just depends on where you go, what you get, what word you get. Come on now. You can go a lot of places and you'll hear some things and you might think it's the Word, but when you start trying to find it in the Word, you can't find it. Come on now. Went to church at a place one time, very popular preacher. If I told his name, most of you would know it. We went there and he was preaching and some folks went from the church here. They went there and he preached. And of course, he had the crowd, man, they was a shouting and a hollering and carrying on. And I mean, it was just, they was running and just having the biggest, I mean, you know, it just, you just big, you know, and stuff. And then, you know, I heard what was said and all this. And then afterward, the next service here at the church, some folks come up to me and said, he said this and this and this. And he said, now where's that at in the Bible there? I said, it's not. They looked at me. Because, you know, he's popular. God big draws big crowds. I said, it's not in the Bible. They looked at me. I said, no, it makes good preaching. Makes people shout and holler and run. But I said, it wasn't biblical. They quit coming to church here. Because, you know, I just told them the truth. I don't want to jump and shout and holler when it's not the Word. I can go to a ball game and jump and shout and holler. Right? I want to jump and shout and holler over the Word. And I want to know what the Word says so when I hear it, I know whether it's Word of God or not. You know, I mean, I did research a long time ago over where Jesus says, you know, whoever that you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. You know, a lot of folks think they're talking about cyanide and all that stuff. You know, but I looked it up and you can't find it in the new concordances. I've got an old one. And that any deadly thing, the thing is logos. Now, if you don't know what logos is, logos is the Hebrew word for written word or word spoken. There's a rhema word and a logos word. But logos is word. So what he said, if you hear any deadly word, it'll not harm you. Why? Because it's following those that believe. Believers ought to know the word, so when a deadly word is spoken, it can't harm them. Come on, see, it's important that we know the Word, folks, because I promise you, there's a lot of poison being spewed out there. A lot of untruths and half-truths that'll confuse you. If you listen to some of those cults, man, you'd think they've got it. They know what, because they know what their doctrine is, but it's not the Word of God. And so here he's saying, listen, he says, you need to go back. You're like babies. You still don't know what the Word says. You need to be taught again. We need to start back in the basics. We got to start with your alphabet again. Right? That's what he's saying to them. And he says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of what? Use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You understand that what he's saying is this: if you know the Word and use the Word, then you're maturing yourself. You're growing yourself. You're growing your faith. So he says, you know, if you don't know what the Word is, you can't have faith in something you don't know. But if you know what the Word of God says, then you can speak the Word of God. And guess what? My job is to speak it. My job is to stand on it. My job is to have faith in it. But it's God's job to perform it. Come on now, it's His Word. He watches over His Word to hasten it, not me. I'm not responsible for the result. I'm responsible for making sure it happens. Right? And so that's our job. So we grow our faith by hearing the Word, you know, getting that Word, and then we grow our faith so that we can, through and using the Word, because we use it and use it and use it, and after a while, guess what? It gets to be natural. Did you hear me? It gets to be natural. It becomes muscle memory, if that makes any sense to you. What am I talking about? Well, I don't know how many of you. It's been a long time for most of us, but how many of you remember the first time you ever got on a bicycle? Right? You got on the bicycle, you know, and you took off, and you was just like this, and you was watching yourself pedal. I've taught a few how to ride bicycles, you know, and they're nervous and all this stuff, you know, and then, you know, by reason of use, after a while, you look and here comes somebody there. They don't have all the handlebars. They're just sitting there paddling, going down through there, you know, just cruising along, showing off. Why? Because it's become so natural to them now that they don't even think about what they're doing. They're comfortable with it. Can I tell you, the more you use the Word, the more comfortable you're going to become with it. When you can take your hands off the wheel and say, this is what the Word says, and just speak out the Word and stand on the Word and not worry about whether you're going to wreck or not. Come on. You can't wreck because God's Word does not fail. But you got to be able to stand. You got to use it. You got to grow yourself into that. It don't happen overnight. It don't happen immediately. You have to sometimes try it a while. Come on now. You take baby steps if you have to. Use it on yourself first if you're afraid to use it on somebody else. Come on now. Start speaking over your headache, your backache, your leg ache, whatever's aching. Come on, whatever's going on. Start speaking it over your situation and declaring it and thanking the Lord Jesus Christ that has come to pass and is a done deal. When you start getting success in your life, then you can understand, well, God's Word's true and it works, and so I'm going to just start using it on somebody else. Because that's really what you have been called to do. You're the church. You're to go out at you in all the world and teach and preach the gospel and give them what you got. Come on now. You just don't understand what you got yet, right? Anybody else heard this? And I've heard it many times, and there's a lot of truth to it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Come on now. And it's true with a lot of things. I guarantee you right now we could start talking about things that we were taught in school, and we can't even remember what they were. Things that you were made to memorize, and you can't remember what they were. Come on. Why? Because you didn't use it, so you lost it. Some of you might have been a whiz in math, but since you ain't used it in so long, you probably can't now. You know, I remember taking an algebra, advanced algebra, and I thought, I would never in this world use something like, how can I use this? Guess what? When I became a certified mind blaster, I found out you took algebra so you could figure out how much fanful you put in a round hole so deep, and you know, it was an algebra problem to figure out how much explosive you put in that hole to make it move so much rock. Never in the world thought I'd ever use something like that. And it's more complicated than that now. They just keep making the rules harder. But I'm just trying to tell you that if you don't use it, you lose it. When it comes to the Word of God, it's the same way. We need to keep reminding ourselves. We need to keep stirring ourselves and meditating on that Word so that it becomes real in our life. Now jump over here with me to 2 Kings, real quick with me. 2 Kings chapter 2. And so I want to read all this, and then we're going to talk just a little bit. It says, "It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel.' And Elisha said to him, 'As the Lord liveth, as I so liveth, I'll not leave thee.' So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?' And he said, 'Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.' And Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' So they went to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?' And he answered, 'Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.' And Elijah said to him, 'Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan.' He said, 'As the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee.' And Elisha said, 'I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.' And he said, 'Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so.' And it came to pass as they went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And the sons of the prophets, which were to view it at Jericho, saw him. They said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.' And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him." I want you to understand that Elisha was the one that poured water on Elijah's hand. He was his servant, but at the same time, he was a servant in training. Elijah was still doing all of the miracles. Understand that. But here's the thing. When it came time now, after Elijah was taken up, when it came time for Elisha now to start his ministry, for him to start doing what Elijah had been doing. As a matter of fact, he had asked Elijah if it were possible, he wanted a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Well, you know, if you study out the Word of God, and I've said this before, and you know it probably, but you've got to understand that Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. How many knows that's a double portion? Come on now. Now, here's what the Lord would have me to say to you guys. I wrote it down because God was giving it to me, and so you just have to let me read it to you, because we're talking about you all stepping out in faith, you all using your faith, you all being what God has called you to be. It's time, church. It's time. You've been sitting around getting trained up, okay? Here's what God said to me and spoke to me. He said, "There are a bunch of Elijahs in this place. God has been training you up with His Word. It's time for you to step up and take up the mantle and start parting some waters. Time for you to start moving some mountains. Time for you to say to the sycamine tree, be plucked up and by the root and be planted in the sea that it should obey you. Job 22:28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and thy light shall shine upon thy ways. It's time for you to begin to speak light into darkness and destroy it. If not now, then when? When are you going to start doing it? Now's the time, the Lord says, okay? I declare an end to the enemy's strategies against you and against this church. I bind him in the name of Jesus and proclaim his devices null and void. The Word of God says in 1 John 5:4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Ephesians 6:17 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now listen, the devil may be as a roaring lion, walking around seeking whom he may devour, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. And as long as we have Him in our lives, we cannot fail. Hallelujah. It's time for us to step up and begin to do what God says. Numbers 23:20-24 says, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he have blessed. I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. There is neither any divination against Israel. According to this time shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. It's time for the saints to get up and walk in victory once again. Church, it's time for us to start using our faith to pull down every stronghold that's come against us. It's time, and now is the time. We do it through faith, through the Spirit of God, and God will get all the glory out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me. Thank you, Father God. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus.